That's Todd Rundgren. A dream lives on forever, and gives something for those guys down at Langley to think about for a day or so. Hi, this is Charles, democraticfundamentalism.org. I always like to remind those folks linking in from other sites on democraticfundamentalism.org. We have links from news sources to substantiate all the topics discussed in the broadcast. Just look for the ongoing report of the news in review. As I always say, you don't have to take my word for anything. I wouldn't, after all. But I don't have to make this stuff up. You know, it's funny, for weeks now I keep talking about how if only people would speak their vision, you know, quit complaining and speaking of their hate and speak of their commitments and goals and what they have in common with people they care about, it would create a whole new future. It would speak to the fundamental drives of all people to survive and flourish and share love and joy with everyone they know, everyone they meet, everyone they hear about is, you know, those people off in a distant world that don't affect them. And to be able to live in a community, in a world of people who understand that all humans are humans. You know, we all make mistakes. We do embarrassing things, even if it's only picking our noses. But in the whole sum of our actions, we're all good people, just trying to do what we think is the best thing. You know, I think it would be funny, though, if Senator Roselli actually ended up running for Senator of New Jersey just because he can't get his name off the ballot. I mean, in my world, that would be a sign, you know, but then that's my world. What an opportunity, though, to take a courageous stand in the world for the vision he's worked for the vision he has of the world, for this country and his constituents. I could campaign for a man like that, and it would set an incredible example for other Americans to be courageous and go beyond themselves to do the best things for everybody. After all, once the secrets are exposed and acknowledged, all that's left is the possibility of the future. What's then spoken into existence becomes a magical question. May the torch be carried, I would ask the people on the streets of New Jersey myself. I keep laughing because, you know, I'm sure I'm confusing the heck out of a whole lot of people, but it's something to think about, isn't it? Of course, you know, as I wrote this, and that was at 3 p.m. Pacific time, I've got Lou Dobbs on Moneyline, and I noticed that the New Jersey Supreme Court has agreed to allow the name of Frank Lautenberg on the ballot, so long as the Democratic Party pays all of the costs of the changes. Well, he has a pretty interesting commentary on this situation on that link at CNN as well. Unfortunately, there's another issue, that of absentee ballots, many of which are from the military and probably have already been cast. It sounds awfully familiar. Republicans have already motioned to have the case heard by the Supreme Court. Here goes the Florida effect again. At least Americans will have the opportunity to see how it works again, then they'll understand that Florida was no accident. So much for my study in human nature and the rippling effects of interaction for the day. Imagine some people think I think too much. On the other hand, speaking of rippling effects, the lockout to end yet another union, people should notice that, and this is actually some heritage and experience in hindsight being passed on. The Story port shutdown hits Hawaii hard. The governor wants exemption on Aloha state goods. This coming from Honolulu. With memories of past shutdowns at West Coast docks still vivid in her mind, Masako Naito has made sure she has an abundant supply of toilet paper in case a lengthy work stoppage disrupts the shipment of goods to Hawaii. Naito, 68, has kept a close eye on contract negotiations between West Coast dock workers and shipping lines, stockpiling goods over the past few months as talks have slowly deteriorated. She said, I lived through the time when we had to scramble for necessities. She purchased 324 roll packages of toilet paper on Tuesday. She said, everything was short back then, rice, toilet paper, and sugar. So we're just trying to be on the safe side. Dock workers were ordered off their jobs indefinitely Sunday at all 29 of the nation's major West Coast ports. An effort at U.S. government mediation failed on Tuesday, and business groups are stepping up pressure on the Bush administration to act as soon as possible to reopen the ports. You can get the full story on CNN. The lockout hasn't forced a buying frenzy in Hawaii yet, but an extended shutdown could hurt the economy and cause a shortage of everything, from cars to fresh milk. You know, everybody ought to really be aware that that's exactly what we'll all be facing if the Bush administration continues to support policies of corporations instead of representing the people. Remember, Americans have lost 2 million jobs since George Bush took over. Meanwhile, my guy Al, you know, Al Gore, president-elect, took to the podium with a great deal of logic and wisdom, the kind you'd expect from an American leader with the good of the people in mind. Had to get that in. President-elect Al Gore said a lot of good stuff, including take action prior to the election, Mr. Bush. Former Vice President Al Gore called on President Bush Wednesday to put the same priority on healing the economy as he has on foreign affairs and a possible war with Iraq. Bush believes it's urgent that the Congress act on the issue of war against Saddam Hussein prior to the election November 5th. Bush's Democratic opponent in the 2000 election said, as if we need to be reminded. He was speaking at the Brookings Institution, a Washington think tank. Al went on to say, for my part, it is even more urgent that both the President and the Congress take action prior to the election to strengthen our economy. How can it be essential that we go to war prior to the election, but absolutely fine to wait until after the election before we take any action to deal with the economy? Today, I want to urge the President to focus on our stalled economy just as he has on foreign policy, Gore said. If we turn a blind eye to our weak economy, it will eventually undermine everything else we are trying to accomplish, whether it's winning the war against terrorism or giving all families the economic opportunities they deserve. So of course, I want to repeat, that's the wisdom, Mr. Bush, the wisdom of President-elect Al Gore. When I run for vice president, he's going to be my guy. That's all I got to say. Speaking of making courageous stands, information is all around us if we want to hear it. This one comes from an unusual source in an unusual place and an unusual circumstance. This is the story of someone surrendering their life to do the right thing. Regardless of the past, this story comes to us from The Hague, Netherlands. Former Bosnian Serb President Biljana Plavsic, indicted for crimes including genocide, has changed her plea to guilty on one count, with judges saying other charges would be dropped. Plavsic was once dubbed the Iron Lady of Bosnia's Serb Republic for her opposition to Milosevic. She publicly snubbed him when he introduced sanctions in 1994 to press Bosnian Serbs into making peace. Later, she strongly opposed the 1995 Dayton Peace Treaty that ended the Bosnian War. In what her lawyers called a move expressing her remorse fully and unconditionally, Plavsic admitted persecutions on political or religious grounds, a crime against humanity, one of 8 counts against the former Serb nationalist. Although UN prosecutors say they do not make plea deals, Plavsic's surrender last year sparked talk that she had received guarantees in returning for her testimony and testifying against other former Bosnian Serb leaders. Plavsic's lawyer poured cold water on that on Wednesday. Mrs. Plavsic has not agreed to testify in any case pending before this tribunal, O'Sullivan said. Nor was there any agreement regarding sentencing, he said, adding, Mrs. Plavsic understands that she is subjecting herself to a possible sentence of life imprisonment. But her acknowledgement of responsibility will, she hopes, enable her people to move past the carnage of the past decade, to reconcile with their neighbors, and ultimately to restore their dignity as a respected people, O'Sullivan said. It says more about the seriousness of the court than anything else, Bonjak told Reuters in the Bosnian Serb capital. Muslims in Sarajevo reacted with surprise to the guilty plea and welcomed it as a positive move. If she admitted guilt for crimes against humanity, this is a big step forward, said one resident, Mohammed Hurek. It's pretty incredible, really. It's kind of thing that makes me think the cultural revolution has begun. And, you know, the neat thing is it doesn't really need me to do it. It just takes people who think such a global cultural revolution should occur, you know? Period of atonement and realignment. Just takes us to imagine what it looks like and then be that in the world. I wonder what would happen if people decided to agree on global peace and abundance for all, which of course is part of my focus in the online book I'm writing on the Union website. It's at globaldcunion.org. That stands for Global Democratic Citizens Union. The project is just the beginning, but at least it gives you an idea of what it's all about, and I think about what's possible, too. I call it For the Love of the World. I just looked up at the TV. Fame is on. There's this guy playing his guitar and singing the words, things that have happened to me that remind me of you. Sort of a synchronicity moment all by itself, because that's about a lot about what my book is about. It's weird, isn't it? Now for some of the serious news of the day. I mean, the truly serious news of the day. Headline, Coast Cowers as Lily Approaches. Is of course coming to from Lake Charles, Louisiana via CNN, with an extremely dangerous hurricane just hours away Wednesday evening. Authorities were urging coastal residents from East Texas to the mouth of the Mississippi River to get out of Hurricane Lily's way. Lily's storm surges could reach as far as 25 miles inland, said officials, who told people in the hurricane's path not to dawdle. It's critical at this stage to rush preparations to protect your life to completion, said Ed Rappaport of the National Hurricane Center in Coral Gables, Florida. At 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, Hurricane Lily's maximum sustained winds had increased to near 145 miles per hour. The hurricane had reached Category 3 status Wednesday morning. Lily was moving northwest at about 16 miles per hour and is expected to turn north during the next 24 hours. So speaking of what's possible, it's time we all kind of banded together and knocked Lily down a peg or two. I always think of how this stuff would sound if it was on the radio, you know. This would go something like, and now, a moment of meditation brought to you by... But seriously, we need to slow Lily down. Now, I've kind of taken to thinking that hurricanes and tornadoes and the like are more like angry spirits than anything. So now I do a few things while practicing my psychic skill. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But what I've been doing is taking a few breaths and then imagining a glass wall in front of Louisiana to help protect it. And once I can see that, I look at Lily and tell it it's okay to relax and sleep. Just relax and sleep. And then I use my hands, and just like opening the lid on a jar, except that I turn it clockwise, which would slow down the hurricane, and I imagine it slowing down, and then I take my hands and throw the storm water into the air so it will dissipate into rain. It's kind of pretty when you think about it. You just imagine the reports on the news sometime later, and they're playing a tape of this. Speaking of things like that, I rarely use the phone unless it's like to order food, you know, or something like that. I remember one time I had a website that was going down by a certain date. I kept emailing them and they kept emailing me, and neither one of us got each other's emails because the whole problem was the email account. It never occurred to me to call. It's kind of like one of those men versus women things, you know. Men don't go out for directions, women do. Oh, by the way, they've determined that the blonde gene is not likely to become extinct. Just a little side thought there. Anyway, when I think of all the emails I've sent to people all over the world in the last 6 months, I think about how if the government was trying to, you know, investigate me or something, they could all get together and say something like, I don't know, he's just a guy obviously fixated on the news. Good thing he's not violent. I've sent some strange emails. I actually wrote a book once in which half of it was devoted to my dislike of the telephone. Actually, it's the demands of the telephone. You know, people these days actually think the people they're calling have a responsibility to answer the phone when they call. And then they get upset when you don't answer, even when you're not home. Kind of speaks to our levels of expectations of other people and how we give ourselves permission to have them. I think that's actually the most interesting part, how we come about to figuring that we have them. Anyway, I've often talked about my father being involved in the military, speaking of expectations. One thing he always used to say is, never jump out of an airplane with a parachute you didn't pack yourself. Now here we are, nearly 40 years later, and the military is having trouble with parachutes. This has to do, I guess, with taking ultimate responsibility for your own life, even when you're supposed to be able to rely on others to get their jobs done properly. The story, military probes parachuting. Military is investigating as a criminal case the discovery of more than a dozen sabotaged parachutes at the Marine Corps base at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. Suspension lines on 13 parachutes were apparently deliberately cut in recent weeks, U.S. officials said Wednesday. The Naval Criminal Investigation Service and the Judge Advocate General have launched a criminal investigation. The sabotage was first suspected September 21st during a routine parachute training jump from a C-17 aircraft. The chutes of three Marines failed to deploy properly, and the men had to use their reserve chutes to land safely. The jump was immediately halted. The C-17 was met on the ground by NCIS special agent who confiscated all remaining 22 parachutes and reserve chutes. 9 additional chutes were found to have cut lines, and one additional one was discovered later. The inspections determined the suspension lines had been severed on the 13 affected main parachutes in such a manner that pre-jump inspections would not detect any signs of tampering. That according to a statement from Camp Lejeune. All parachutes were being re-inspected at the base before further jumps. Just kind of something to notice. It'll likely come up even more in the future, tampering with military equipment. It's kind of like, you know, looking for the book banning and music banning and burning and all that fun stuff coming up. Let's see, a few interesting dates and entertainment notes for you. On this day in 1835, the United States saw the first battle of the Texas Revolution. Interesting timing. Happy birthdays are in order for rapper Big Proof. He turns 25. Chris LeDoux, he's 54. LeDoux, by the way, country star, or country cult star. He's got an interesting story. Got to interview him once and still have an autographed album. Got to check his stuff out. He's an independent label guy. For some reason, he's well known. He's like a legend in country music, but he never quite broke onto the charts. Anyway, even Garth Brooks sang about him. His family believed in his music so much they even created a company that his father and mother and family managed. And it all made them a pretty good living. That's good old American ingenuity. Great music, too. Anyway, a man in Jamestown, New York has grown a 1,245-pound pumpkin. It's just 17 pounds shy of the world's record pumpkin. Sounds big enough to me. Just can't imagine what that looks like. Not sure I'd want to. I have bad dreams about being chased by pumpkins, for sure. Speaking of vegetables, though, looks like Disney is releasing a movie called Veggie Tales. About the story of Jonah and the whale. An asparagus, apparently, will play the part of Jonah. It's kind of strange. Some kind of symbolism and all that I'm not too sure I like. But it should be a funny movie. Don't forget Reese Witherspoon's Sweet Home Alabama. And oh yeah, The Sopranos? Well, Elaine Bracco's birthday is today. I hope she noticed I didn't give her age out. And oh yeah, I like this. Don McLean, the guy who wrote Bye Bye Miss American Pie, he turns 57 today. Somehow there must be a music mix here. Actually, there is, and I know what it is. There are a group of people called the Psychic Children who claim that the presence of whales around our coastlines are a sign that they're pleading with us not to take the world to war. Some reason they don't think it's a good idea. They also say that when the sharks begin nearing the shores, we should become worried. A couple of weeks back, a Mako shark about 800 pounds was hauled in after a six-hour battle with fishermen down in Southern California. A few days later, a boy was attacked off the coast of Oregon. Meanwhile, remember those whales who beached themselves in Connecticut? 52 of them, if I remember correctly. I told some people it was their way of begging us not to destroy the planet. Now American officials say they'll be investigating the phenomenon of whales who insist on beaching themselves where meetings are being held where the future of military operations are being discussed. I think it's in Italy. I'll check on that some more. With that, I know there's a mix. And that's a wrap. This is Charles, DemocraticFundamentalism.org. You have a good night.